Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly, welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us this lunchtime. You've secured government approval this morning for a new public-only consultant contract aimed at filling some of those hundreds of vacancies in our hospitals up and down the country and perhaps making some dent on hospital waiting lists as a result. The new salary offer is up to €252,000 a year, but there's other allowances as well. What for you are the key elements of this agreement and what elements do you think are really going to make a difference in terms of recruitment and retention of consultants?
Thanks, Brian. We've had a good day for patients at Cabinet this morning. I got agreement to proceed with two new hospitals, the elective hospitals in Cork and Galway. Cabinet agreed this morning to proceed with five new surgical hubs as well, which will make a big difference in the short term. And then we got agreement on the new consultant contract. Now, obviously, I want to be very respectful of the representative bodies, the IMO, the IHCA. We've had very extensive negotiations over a long time, and they're going through their process. But I was delighted the Cabinet agreed on the government side. So ultimately, this contract is about patients getting quick access to fantastic doctors and supporting those doctors in their work treating their patients. So for me and for government, what's relevant about this contract? First of all, it begins the phasing out of private patients being treated in public hospitals. That's something central to the Sláinte Care vision. Mm-hmm. It opens the door to hiring a lot more consultants. We need to hire a very significant additional number of consultants right across the country, and it opens the door to that.
There is already a public-only consultant contract, and there are consultants who are on that contract. What's different about this one?
Well, and we're hoping that they'll come across. These are the so-called A contract holders. Mm-hmm. What's different about this, there is a recognition of the pay cut that was imposed in 2012. It would reverse that in the salary. It facilitates a lot more professional development, training and innovation. So one of the things the consultants have been saying to me for a long time is they need local funding and support for continuous professional development, research, innovation. There's a €20,000 fund attached to the contract, €20,000 per year to allow them invest in their own ongoing training and then in innovation for their patients.
So just on the pay cut, the reversal, that was the 30% pay cut, I think, in 2012. Mm. That will be reversed for consultants if they come across onto this new deal.
That's right. So for any consultant coming across, and we hope as many as possible do come across, it will essentially revert to the salary before that pay cut.
And how do their terms and conditions, particularly their hours, change as a result? Because that's another part of this, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's an important part. Now, for individual consultants, their working hours don't change. So the Haddington Road Agreement was applied earlier this year. So the contracted hours are 37 hours per week. But what's important about this is we'll be approximately doubling the amount of time in the hospitals that the consultants can be rostered, but critically then the time when they will have access to outpatient clinics, to diagnostics facilities, to theatres for their patients. So we're moving from about 40 hours a week, most of which would be Monday to Friday, to a very significant change. And I want to acknowledge that this will be a big change for the consultants.
Weekend work.
Well, first of all, Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And then Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. as well.
Right. Just on this question carrying out private work in the public hospital, that's something you want to move away from. But for the public hospitals, that's a big revenue source, isn't it? I think Sláinte Care put a figure of, what is it, 800 million. So if that is to be phased out, where does the 800 million shortfall get picked up?
We estimate that this year it's around 450, 460 million in private income. And that hole is going to have to be filled by government. It's going to have to be filled by the Exchequer.
And is there provision for that, or is that something that's well down the road?
No, that's something that will be provisioned for. What we need to see...
But not this year, next.
Well, next year, yes, because I certainly hope that a lot of consultants move across to this contract. However, there is a phasing out period for those consultants. So what the contract specifies is that those who currently have private practice rights in the public hospitals, that they would phase that out on a pretty aggressive basis between now and the end of 2025. So the full 460 million or whatever it may be for future years, that does have to be covered, and we'll be able to increase that and phase that in the coming years.
The contract is presumably mainly aimed at filling those vacancies, bringing consultants maybe who've trained here, gone abroad, enticing them back into the Irish system. So, you know, is it a deal that you believe is going to be able to do that?
I really hope it is. Yes, I really do. I think this is an attractive contract. I think first and foremost, it has to work for patients. Mm-hmm. But secondly, as you quite rightly say, it has to work for hospital consultants as well.
Have you compared it, for example, with contracts that are available in some of the countries they might be working in now?
We have, of course. Yeah, we've looked at hours worked. We've looked at rosters. We've looked at wages. We've looked and in the round, people will always be able to say, well, this country might pay a bit more, or that country might give more holidays or whatever it might be. In the round, I believe that this is an attractive contract. And critically, Brian, what consultants have been saying to me from day one is we need more doctors in our system. So at the moment, we have 4,100 posts sanctioned. But one in every four of those posts is either empty or has a locum or an agency person in it. Now, not only do we need to fill about those 900 posts, I believe we actually need to move from about 4,000 consultants to closer to 6,000 consultants.
And the problem is more acute in some parts of the country than others. There are some parts of the country where hospitals find it very difficult to recruit. Is there anything in this that actually addresses that and acknowledges that particular challenge?
Well, the contract... it should make it easier for hospitals right across the board to hire. Different hospitals have different reasons why they find it hard to hire. Sometimes it's geography, sometimes it's specialty or subspecialty. So this should make it a lot more attractive. Certainly, there has been a lot of toxicity, might be too strong a word, but there's been a lot of bad feeling in the consultant body now since 2012. And one of the things that was asked for was that that 30% pay cut would be reversed, so that everyone is on an equal footing. That's one of the things that this does.
And if you sign up to this contract, that is the situation in relation to the pay cut. But consultants, of course, also need the backup of other health professionals, don't they? We've seen what a lack of intensive care nurses, for example, has meant for children waiting for scoliosis treatment. Are those challenges, those issues being addressed as well?
Yes, they are. And we need to be very honest about this. So what this contract does is it opens the door for much longer working operating hours within our hospitals, which ultimately is about reducing patient waiting lists, reducing patients on trolleys, and achieving what we all want, which is universal healthcare.
Scoliosis, we know that the surgeons say we're ready, we can perform the procedure, we just don't have the capacity to give the aftercare because in the case of that particular treatment, the intensive care nurses aren't there.
That's right. And so this is one part of an expansion of capacity in the public sector. So if we look back since the start of COVID, we've added more beds than any period on record, nearly 1,000 extra beds. We've added more workforce than ever before. So today, working in the HSE compared to the start of COVID, there's over 16,000 people working in there.
Do we need more?
Yes, we do.
238 children waiting for scoliosis treatment at the end of September.
We did. Now, there's an awful lot less waiting for a long period of time. And I want to compliment the team in CAPA and the team in CHI.
But presumably no delay really is at all tolerable or acceptable.
This is exactly where we're going. So what are we doing, Brian? We're expanding permanent capacity, beds, theatres, diagnostics, workforce at a record level. We're putting in place this new consultant contract. This morning, as I said, we've got government agreement for two new hospitals, which are going to make a big difference, and critically, five new surgical hubs. So we're talking about waiting lists. Let me just give you a quick example on this surgical hub. Talla is the model that we're following. In the first 2 years of operation, they have one. It's called the Reeves Centre. They've had a nearly 60% reduction in their outpatient lists. And believe it or not, the number of people waiting more than 3 months for a day case procedure, sorry, not outpatient, day case procedure in Talla has fallen by over 90% in those 2 years. So that's the kind of success we need to replicate across the country.
So these elective hospitals in Cork and Galway, what kind of procedures would they carry out?
What they'll be doing is the high volume procedures. So for example, orthopaedics, ophthalmology, urology, gynaecology, ENT. And to give your listeners a sense of the scale of these, We believe just the Cork and Galway ones will be able to facilitate about 360,000 episodes of care per year. So you can imagine the heavy lifting that that's going to take off the existing
and
hospital system.
How soon might they be up and running?
We are aiming to have patients in them by the end of 2027, so in 5 years' time. Now, it's a very ambitious timescale. We have detailed design, planning, tendering for construction and construction. But critically, in the meantime, we're not simply waiting. And that's why these five surgical hubs, which I believe we can have in place in about 18 months, are so important.
But in relation to those elective hospitals, given what we've seen with the National Children's Hospital in terms of cost overruns and delays, can you really be confident in that kind of timeline?
Well, we have to be. We have to insist that this gets done. There is a public spending code in place. It was put in place after the National Children's Hospital cost overrun. That minimises the risk in terms of cost. And really then it's incumbent upon myself, on government, on the department, on the HSE to get these built.
The Nurses and Midwives Organisation are reporting this morning that there were 644 patients waiting on trolleys for admission to a hospital bed today. And we know one of the issues here is the provision of step-down beds, isn't it? So as people who've completed their treatment in an acute hospital can recuperate, perhaps in a nursing home setting. But we also know from HICWA in a report last week that during the pandemic, the number of nursing home beds has declined. And HICWA itself says that the Fair Deal model, which is designed to fund all of this in the private nursing home sector, simply isn't a sustainable model.
That's certainly been looked at, and it's something that certainly the smaller nursing homes are saying. They're saying in the context of very significant increases in prices, in inflation, can the Fair Deal rates be looked at? And that's something that myself and Minister Butler are certainly taking a look at. It is worth saying, though, that the reason the number of beds is declining is because we're now looking to meet the HICWA standards. Mm-hmm. So essentially the same facilities will have less beds in them, but those beds will be to a much more modern standard.
Then does the Fair Deal funding need to be adequate enough to allow the homes to reach those new standards?
Yes, it does. The Fair Deal.
And is it at the moment, do you accept?
Remember, we're in the middle of a very significant inflationary period at the moment, so that is being looked at. But certainly the Fair Deal rates must be enough for nursing homes to provide the best possible care and operate as viable entities.
The HSE, as you know, the HSE-run homes receive funding far in excess of Fair Deal, don't they? The Nursing Homes Ireland says that it's up to 73% more. So really on the evidence of the HSE's own financial model, the Fair Deal funding doesn't seem to be adequate.
The funding model for the HSE homes is different in that though these community nursing units are quite fundamentally different to what most of us would understand to be a private nursing home. There's a lot of clinical input. There's much more clinical input generally than there was they're a different model of care. They're higher dependency units. And so the costs reflect what is essentially a higher model of clinical support in the HSC facilities.
Just a couple of issues before I let you go, Minister. Navan Hospital's emergency department, it will close, will it, from next week?
It absolutely will not close from next week. No, all that's happening next week, if Drogheda get access to additional beds in Navan, which is a requirement for it, the only thing that is scheduled to happen next week is a very modest change to an existing ambulance bypass protocol. So right now, there's an ambulance bypass protocol in place for a wide range of things like heart attack, stroke, pediatrics, obstetrics and others. All that's happening next week is one thing is being added to that, which is if in the view of the attending paramedic on site, the patient is seriously or critically ill, or likely to deteriorate, then that paramedic then has the choice to bring them to one of the bigger hospitals. It's being put in place to address a patient safety issue for a relatively small number of patients. And again, it will be based on the clinical judgment of the attending paramedic.
It's reported that a group of 17 consultants from Drogheda Hospital, Our Lady of Lourdes Drogheda, which is where patients will be taken in those circumstances, have said they don't have the resources to deal with this change in the ambulance protocol. And it is a change which they say could result in patients dying.
Unfortunately, there was a letter sent around by Navan Hospital, which contained incorrect information, which said that this bigger ambulance bypass protocol was going in place and then the emergency department would be shut down. It was untrue. It was a very unhelpful letter to have been sent around. And my understanding is some of the clinical community in Drogheda are quite rightly raising concerns about a much fuller reconfiguration. I've been in Drogheda twice. I've met with the manager, met with the clinical director and several consultants working there. And the reason I intervened, in fact, right at the start of this, was my view is no reconfiguration can even be considered unless substantial additional resources are in place, not promised, in place for Drogheda. And that's something that needs to be done.
Just a final question in relation to your own future. Are you expecting to still be Minister for Health after the change of Taoiseach and Tánaiste next week?
It's a matter entirely for the Taoiseach. All I would say, Brian, is I would love the opportunity to keep going with the job. I think working in the health service and working with some fantastic people is a great honour. It's a great privilege. There is momentum being made. Today, we've had a very good day in terms of hospital surgical hubs and consultant contracts.
You're hoping to hang on.
And critically, regardless who it is, we need to keep the momentum going. But the waiting list for the long waiters are coming down.
A change of minister at this stage will disrupt that momentum, do you think?
Yeah, I do. But again, that's a matter for the Taoiseach. But yes, I would love the opportunity to keep going with the job.
Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, thanks for talking to us on the programme.
Thank you.